Hey everybody, this is Flavio Romeo, and before we get into episode 20 of the Towncast, I just want to thank everybody who came out to watch Animal Farm. On a personal level, I'm in the play with some very, very gifted and talented actors, and especially our director, Alexi Burago. He adapted the play Animal Farm, which is, it was written back in the 40s by George Orwell, but it is as timely today as it has ever been. So I encourage you guys to come out. We've had, since we opened, every show's been sold out. I want to thank everybody that came out, that listens, that came out. And I know a lot of you have already made reservations for future shows. If you haven't made a reservation, make sure you do it. Go to RussianTheater.org because the tickets do sell out, clearly. And we'd hate for you to just come and try to get tickets at the door and have to be turned away. That would be horrible. Also want to thank Bob Kosh, who is the host of Sunday Supper with Vito, as well as Counterintelligence on iHeart. And you can find Counterintelligence on YouTube as well. He helped us promote the play. He had the whole cast and the director on his show. And we had a lovely time just having a chat with him and telling him all about the show. And I encourage you guys to check out some of his episodes. They're really good episodes. All right. So one last thing. The end of May, Memorial Day, we are putting together our Memorial Day video. If you or any of your friends, neighbors, relatives had a loved one who passed that served in any branch of the military, please send us your picture, send us their name, their rank if you know it. Send it to memorialday@thetowncast.com. All right, we want to make sure to include everybody. We have not had a lot of responses, so I know people are going to be upset when they see it because they weren't able to put their relative or their loved one in that served in our military. And we want to make sure to honor everybody. All right, so this episode, we are in Glen Rock, longtime Glen Rock resident, Virginia Lincoln, joins us, and she tells us all about the New Jersey Choral Society. They have an awesome concert coming up, and you want to make sure you get your tickets for that. It's going to be in Ridgewood, and she shares her journey of growing up in Massachusetts and how she ended up in Glen Rock, the president and also the singer, one of the singers in the New Jersey Choral Society. All right, enjoy the episode, everybody. In my hometown, there's a railroad running through it. Like to take you there and prove it. Can I take you there tonight? All right, everybody, here we are. We are on Rock Road in Glen Rock, and I'm sure, you know, you guys have probably passed this, I don't know how many thousands of times. We are at Merv's. It is such a great... I've passed this so many times, and I got to tell you, I've never come in here. I've been wanting to come in here. I tried once on a Monday, and they're closed. So don't come on Mondays. But it's such a cute little coffee shop. It's been here for quite a while. They've got great coffee. They have amazing treats. And it's just a very cozy place in here, right? And they got a little fireplace. We're sitting near the fireplace, and I am with Virginia Lincoln, longtime Glen Rock resident. And are you now? You're the president of.
I am the president.
The president of the North Jersey Choir Society.
New Jersey Choral Society.
I see that. I got that right. New Jersey Choral Society. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Sure.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you for doing this. It's great for us.
Yeah, and it's. I know you have a big concert coming up, and we're going to talk about that. But I want to get a little bit about your background because I know you weren't born in. Raised in Glen Rock, right?
No. My husband grew up in Hohokus, and we decided to, when he moved back here after law school, we decided to live nearby. But I grew up in southeastern Massachusetts, very near to where Lizzie Borden took an axe and gave her mother 40 whacks in the Fall River.
And is that like their big claim to fame?
That's their only
claim. Is there
claim
a
to
sign
fame?
As, you know, now entering
no,
Lizzie Borden's
no,
hometown?
No. Although I know in Fall River, it used to be a mill town, and they have the Battleship Massachusetts there. And I know that scouting groups sometimes do sleepovers there, and they come from all over, including groups from right here in Glen Rock has done it.
Is that right?
At the Battleship Massachusetts, yep.
Really?
Yeah, it's fun. And I'm sure anybody who's gone to Cape Cod has gone right through where I grew up on their way to the Cape.
And that's,
you can't
that's,
miss it.
And that's where Lizzie Borden did her deed.
Yep, and... went to college in Western Massachusetts, went to law school in Boston where I met my Jersey boy husband. And
where'd you go to law school?
Suffolk University. It's right on Beacon Hill. Well, it was then.
Wow.
It's moved since then. It's a great place to live, to go to school. Boston is just a great
city.
And
you fell for a Jersey boy.
Yeah. I did.
And he was a Yankee fan and you were a Red Sox fan? Let's just clear that up.
Well, actually, that was the year the Mets beat the Red Sox in the World Series. That was the night
before
we got married.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was the same weekend we got married.
Well, that was a tough weekend.
Oh, it was a bad weekend.
Wow, that was brutal.
It really was.
They rode him out on a rail.
Billy Buckner, yeah.
The Billy Buckner game.
Yep. So, and he was working in a law firm, and I was working in the State House, so I decided to move to New Jersey, and that was 1986. I was working in the prosecutor's office in Newark. A few weeks later, my husband calls me on the phone and says, I saw a blurb in the newspaper about a chorus, and I had sung in high school and college. I really missed it.
Oh, you sang in college too?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of, like a...
It was a women's college. It was a glee club.
Okay.
And so basically, it was a chorus of all women.
Right, right.
And I auditioned and started the next day.
Wow.
And I haven't looked back. Tuesdays are now sacred, and we don't do anything on Tuesdays other than my going to rehearsal.
And just so we're clear, it's Wednesday today that we're recording this, so
right.
she's off the hook.
Right, we had rehearsal last night.
So you started singing in 1986.
87.
87.
Yep.
For the New Jersey
Choral
Society.
Society. Right.
And you've been doing it ever since?
Ever since.
What vocal level are you at?
Well, I'm an alto right now, but I was a soprano for a while. Sometimes altos are asked to sing tenor if the tenors are a little thin, but we have a new music director who doesn't usually do that, so that's nice for the altos.
So you knew how to read music and all that if you sang all those years.
I took organ lessons for 11 years.
Growing up?
Yep, can't play a thing.
But you know how to read music.
But I know how to read music, and I took piano in college, still can't play a thing. But I really liked singing. It was actually an accident that brought me to choral singing. When I went to my high school, I came to the school as a sophomore. And so all the groups of friends had already been formed, and I didn't want to make any waves. And I had signed up for art, and they put me in glee club. And I didn't want to cause any trouble, so I just left it and loved it. Signed up the next year, and went off to college and auditioned so I could get into the glee clubs. And it's my passion. I love it.
Now, when you're doing it in college, are there competitions? Is it competitive or just shows?
No, we just put on shows. We used to sing a holiday concert, Christmas concert on Fifth Avenue in New York at St. Thomas's
Church.
All the
way down from Boston.
No, it was not. I went to college in Western Massachusetts.
Oh, Western.
Out near Springfield, Holyoke.
Gotcha.
Where UMass and all those schools are.
Yeah.
And we'd come down and do a big concert in New York, because a lot of New York had a lot of alumni.
Yeah.
So, and it was great. It was great fun. We did a concert with the Worcester Polytechnic Institute Men's Glee Club and did Beethoven's Ninth.
Really?
It was great, but it was really hot. Beethoven's Ninth is really an orchestral piece that has a chorus at the end.
Yeah, very.
And we had to stand through the first three movements on
just
risers
like 45
in May.
Minutes.
It was brutal. It was
in your outfits.
Oh, it was brutal. It was brutal. I'll never forget it.
Just for the last like 5 or 10 minutes of the chorus.
Yeah, for like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Terrible. But it was fun.
So you come here, you move to Jersey. Jersey boy took you back to Jersey, and you start singing in 1987. So, as I know we talked a little bit before we started recording, if let's say I wanted to, even though do you have to read music if you want it? You do, right?
You do have to read music.
You need to know what you're looking at.
Yeah, you actually, the audition process involves preparing a piece. It can be almost anything. It can be an aria, an opera chorus, or some piece of popular music. It can be just about anything.
They just want to hear you. Tone.
They just want to hear you sing. Singing scales. Sometimes you have to speak foreign languages, but I don't know if they really do that anymore in the audition. And sight reading, which they hand you a piece of music you don't know and you have to sing it.
Right.
So that's
where reading music comes in.
That's where you have to read music. It was funny, in my audition, I was very nervous. It was audition by committee. They don't do that anymore.
Wow.
And it was in one of those
giant... Well, they have like 5 or 6 people. So
yes,
they...
and it was in a giant mansion in Franklin Lakes, and my house fit in the circular driveway at this woman's house. She had a music room with an organ and a piano and instruments on the wall. It was terrifying. And the music director at the time, Lenora Tom, who was lovely and we loved her to death, handed me a piece of music, and I looked at it, and like an idiot, I said, I sang this in college. And she said, read the other part. All I could think of was, I could have aced this if I had just kept my mouth shut.
Oh, no.
It was fine. It worked out okay. So, but that was the time I thought, boy, that was really stupid.
So how many people are in the core group?
It ranges. We have about 65 people on the roster right now.
Wow.
But there has been a time when we've had about 100 people. But, you know, life has gotten busier and you know, parents are working and raising children. So we've lost people. People come and go. People move away. They get new jobs. They have children. And
How dare they have a life?
Some of those women, I mean, seriously. So there's about 65 of us in it, and there's about 55 of us singing right now, which is, considering the pandemic, is really amazing.
Yeah, what happened during the pandemic? I mean, everything stopped, obviously.
Nothing. We did a lot of engagement activities. We did a lot of things on Zoom. We were very lucky. We do six concerts a year, three in December, which is holiday music, winter music.
Hannah's Messiah.
We actually did the Hallelujah Chorus this year for the big finale.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it can be any kind of holiday music. Winter music, snow music, Christian tradition, Jewish tradition. We've sung in Swahili.
Really?
Just about, yep. We sang in Swahili for December for Kwanzaa. Sing Latin, German, French, Italian. That's mostly for December. In March, we do a Pops concert. And in 2020... the Pops concert was called Fire and Rain. It was all music with a fire or rain theme. You know, Earth, Wind, and Fire was one of the sets
We
did. And,
oh, that's cool.
And stuff like that. You know, we opened it with, I'm drawing a blank, but Fire and Rain, James Taylor. And that was on March 6th and 7th. And then like a week later, everything shut down. All the other local groups that had concerts in March had to cancel them. We were very lucky. We slipped it in right under the radar.
Wow.
And of course, at the time, we all thought this is going to be 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, maybe.
I know, I remember that.
So we were thinking,
max.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. So we were wondering how much time we could miss before we had to cancel the June Masterworks concert, because we do one performance of our Masterworks in June. And we figured we could maybe miss 3 to 4 weeks. Of course, 3 to 4 weeks go by and we realize we have to cancel the concert. So instead, we took one of the pieces from that concert and we did a virtual chorus. Do you know what a virtual chorus is?
Is that a chorus that you do virtually?
Well, yes, but a virtual chorus, it looks like the Brady Bunch. It's like Zoom, where there's,
everybody's,
you see tons of little pictures of people.
Yeah.
And you're all singing in your own home.
Yeah.
And then it's all meshed together and it sounds like a single chorus all singing at the same time.
Now, was that difficult? Did you have to mix that? Because I've seen people do that, and I just feel like, because I've seen bands do it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, if you've got the drummer playing here and you've got the guitar player, you know, was it synced up or did it have to be synced up?
They have to be synced. We only had our accompanist, Linda Sweetman Waters, who's been with us for more than 30 years. She would play, and then we'd sing along. What we did was...
Did you have headsets on?
Or earbuds or whatever it was. We would rehearse in quotations on Zoom, where Linda would play, and then we'd all mute ourselves and sing it back because of... It wouldn't have meshed. You can't really rehearse together because of delays and bandwidth and all that stuff. It wouldn't be simultaneous, so we would
everybody
rehearse...
record themselves by themselves.
Well, after we did all the rehearsal, then what we would get is a recording of the accompaniment. And before that, there would be clapping. So the recording you get is called a click track. And before the recording, there would be 4 or 5 claps. And before you do your own recording of the music, you would clap along to the clicks.
So
and that's how they
them.
Would sync with the clicks.
Nice. So it was all like a metronome kind of.
Exactly. And
here we go.
And we did 4 virtual choruses. I don't remember why I couldn't do the first one, and I completely missed the second one because my son got COVID, and we fled to my father's house in his summer place in New Hampshire, 2 little cabins. My son was in one, I was in the other. I forgot to bring my clothes, I forgot to bring the music,
oh, no.
I didn't have the earbuds, I didn't bring anything, so I couldn't do it. But the way you record it is you listen to the music in your earbuds or headphones or whatever, and then you record it on another device.
Okay.
And the hardest thing is you have to get through it perfectly, which means you record it like 30,000 times.
Right, right.
And then you have to listen to yourself to make sure it's right. And after that, I decided I'm never doing this again.
You hate your own voice, right?
I thought I'm never...
Like everyone does.
Oh, I'm never doing this again. So we did four of those. One was, like I said, a piece from that June concert and is in our current concert because this concert coming up is the same program as June 2020. We had already bought the music. We couldn't tell our members we weren't going to do it. Mm. So we decided to do it. The second one was a holiday piece. I think the first one we did is actually... I've sort of lost track of which ones we did when, but we did four. One was something called Veni, Veni, Emmanuel. That was probably the Christmas piece. We did a spiritual by Moses Hogan called... We're doing it in June. You think I'd remember the name of it? No, it'll come to me eventually. We did a choral version of Bridge Over Troubled Waters.
Oh, wow.
And then the fourth one was a recording by a small group of chorus members of a piece written by a member of our chorus, Rita Blacker, and we're also doing that in our June performance.
Really?
Yep. She's written pieces, really beautiful pieces for us before.
That's so cool.
Yep.
And she's local?
She lives in Ridgewood.
Wow. Yep. So you've got a concert coming up, June 11, 7:30 p.m. at Westside Presbyterian Church in Ridgewood, and I love how many different productions they do at that church. I mean, they really...
It's a great place.
It's a beautiful, beautiful church.
The sound is
great. I know
they
had a fire a while back.
Right, and I remember that fire because 9/11 was a Tuesday. It was supposed to be our first night of rehearsal. So, of course, we canceled it. And then the following Tuesday, my husband and I are in the office, and he's looking out the window, and he sees all this smoke. And, of course, you're freaking out.
Because it's something local.
Right, and you don't know what it is, and that was the fire at Westside.
Wow. Yeah, I remember that it's like half that was destroyed.
Yeah. But the facility is beautiful. The people who work there and work with us are lovely. They provide us a sound man if we need one. The lighting is great. They set up the risers for us. The Westside is just fabulous.
And listen, guys, if you want to learn a little bit more about NJCS... The New Jersey Choral Society. I was looking at Virginia to make sure I said it properly. She's a retired attorney, so anything I say incorrectly, can be taken down and used against me at a later date. But it's njcs.org, and NJC they were founded like almost
1981.
In fact,
the pandemic season was supposed to be our 40th anniversary. So this season has sort of been, we call it our 40th anniversary 2.0.
Yeah.
We didn't really make a big deal about it so much, but we did perform pieces that had been choral favorites of ours, of our members, throughout the season. And one of the pieces in June is Aaron Copland's The Promise of Living from his opera, The Tenderland. And that's really one of my top three or four pieces. We've done it probably four or five times over the years because it's just such a great piece. We've done it so much that a lot of the altos know the tenor part, we know the bass part, some of us know the soprano part. We've done it so many times we know all the other parts. It's a really great piece, and it's very uplifting and enjoyable. It's a fun piece to sing. I've lost my train of thought. Oh, well.
Well, while you think about it, are there... snippets of past performances on the website?
No. The problem is that with the licensing issues, we're really limited to what we can have online. But you can watch our virtual choruses.
I'd love to see that.
The link for our YouTube channel is very long. But if you put New Jersey Choral Society YouTube into the search engine, it comes right up. Our YouTube page comes right up.
Yeah, so listen, guys, go to YouTube. And put in New Jersey Choral Society. And, I'd love to check it out. Love to see what you guys did on the virtual side.
Yeah, they're really fun.
Yeah. I know you have a lot of different types of music that you've done over the years. Mm-hmm. What type can we expect on the 11th?
June 11th, every June we do our Masterworks performance with a small orchestra. I think there's 8 players for this. We're doing 6 pieces of music. 2 are by a contemporary, still-living composer named John Rutter.
Wow.
It's the Rutter Requiem, which Requiem always conjures up thoughts of death and dying.
I know, you think of Mozart.
But there, and we've done a lot of Requiems, but this is, it weaves the Latin text as well as some English text, and is really an interesting, complicated piece, and some of it is very dark and sad, but Requiems are all about birth, death, and redemption. Mm. And that's what really, it really works well for where we are in the world right now, with the pandemic and everything else. So it's a good piece for that. We're doing a second Rutter piece called To Everything There Is a Season from Ecclesiastes.
Yeah.
And that that's a very short piece, and that's also the title of the concert, To Everything There Is a Season.
I saw that, and I was wondering if that was from Ecclesiastes.
From.
That's where the birds got there.
Yep.
There's their son. They took it right out of the Bible.
Yep. And then there's four other pieces. Moses Hogan's Ride on King Jesus. I knew I'd come up with the name eventually. That's a spiritual, very lively, exciting piece. Aaron Copland's The Promise of Living, as I had mentioned before. A piece called Set Me as a Seal by Renee Clausen. I'm not really familiar with the history of that piece. I don't know anything about it, but it's beautiful. A cappella, no accompaniment, no orchestra. Mm. And the last piece is Offering of Peace, which is by Rita Blacker, who's a member of our chorus. It's a lovely, beautiful piece. Also, I think it's a cappella. And I don't remember offhand. But another piece that's very appropriate for our time. So even though this was basically the program for June 2020, it actually fits better
today.
For now.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to change it.
That's awesome.
We just stuck with it.
Yeah. What got you inspired in singing? Is there singing in your background, your parents, grandparents?
No, like I said, I was in high school and I didn't want to. I had come as a sophomore. I decided to take art, but they put me in glee club. I didn't want to ruffle any feathers.
Right.
And I just stayed in glee club and I absolutely loved it. I think my parents weren't too happy about that because they had to make a black skirt because we all had to wear the same thing, and then they had to drive me to concerts and all, you know. I think they would have preferred I did not do that.
Why can't you just draw stuff in your room?
That was exactly it. Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, not everybody has an ear for it. You know, I've known people in my life who I love dearly that are tone deaf and couldn't carry a tune in a bucket.
Including my parents.
Really?
They would call on birthdays. They started this little tradition where, you know, they were up in Massachusetts and we were down here. They would call on birthdays and sing and leave. And they would, if we answered the phone, they'd tell us to hang up. And then they would call back and leave it on the answering machine, and it was painful. But yeah,
well, especially when you have an ear for it, you know. It's just
and we started doing it back. We would call and sing to them on Christmas and New Year's or whatever.
Badly?
No, well. we were a little better, and the dog would howl, so that was kind of fun too.
Is your husband a singer?
My husband doesn't have a bad voice, but he doesn't, and he plays the guitar, but he doesn't really read music, and this is my thing, so
he's got his thing.
He's got his thing, and I have mine.
Tuesdays are yours.
Tuesdays are mine.
I don't need to see him on a Tuesday. When do you guys rehearse? How long do you rehearse for?
We rehearse on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 10, from early September through to the concert in December, and then we start again January through the concerts in June.
Wow.
Concert week tends to be a little intense. We'll have two or three dress rehearsals from 7 to 10, but we really look forward to it because it's fun and we see each other every single night, and we go out after all the rehearsals and, you know, our families are like, where have you gone? We haven't seen you in days.
So. And if people listening, if they are singers and they know how to read music and they'd be interested in joining or at least auditioning, what's that process?
Very simple. If you go to njcs.org and you click on the little tab that says auditions, you just put your name and information in and someone will get back to them. They can also email us, very simple email address, music, M-U-S-I-C, at njcs.org.
And that is easy.
Yep, and we pass the message along to the chair or the audition committee. You can also call, but off the top of my head, I don't remember the phone number.
But you can find it on njcs.org, the New Jersey Choral Society. Are there any age limitations?
We have had kids from 14 There's one kid who joined when he was 14. He's a prodigy. Right now he's at Montclair State, so he's not really singing with us. He's a little busy with his conducting major. But we've had members. So he was the youngest member.
So he started at 14.
14.
And that's got to feel good, like, seeing him grow.
He would conduct pieces for us, and he was great. He was so much fun to watch, and he was a really good conductor. So we can't wait for him to come back. But we have kids who recently graduated from college, all the way to people in their mid-80s. One of our members was in Phantom of the Opera for 20-something years in a principal position.
In New York?
In New York City, yes.
Wow.
His name's David Cryer. He's actually John Cryer's father.
Really?
The actor John Cryer.
Yeah, yeah.
And his wife, Britt, was
John
a dancer
Cryer's
on Broadway.
Father,
yep.
Wow.
His wife, Britt, was a dancer. We did a Les Mis set. We did a Mary Poppins set, and we had four people dance, and she was one of the dancers at the beginning, and she's lovely. We love them to death. Age group.
Yeah, if you guys listen, and if you yourselves or you know somebody or a child, and they can audition anytime during the year, is there a certain time period?
We're pretty much done with auditions for now, but we are scheduling them for late August or early September.
Oh, okay.
And but we will do auditions as each concert session begins. But after three or four rehearsals, it's gone on too far, and you would have missed too much. But we're still happy to have you audition and just start with the next session. So okay. Sessions start in September, January, and March. So you can join and come sing with us anytime then.
Yeah, and it's a great. I could tell by your energy how much you love doing this. Or you wouldn't have been doing it for 35 years.
In fact, this concert is the 100th concert that I've done, and the woman who joined the same day I did.
Really?
100th concert session. So it's more like 250 some odd concerts.
Wow. Yeah,
we each miss three.
You're doing like two, three concerts per session.
Right.
Yeah.
Three in December, two in March. One in June.
And where are the concerts usually? Are they always at the church?
In December, we have one at Westside, and two recently have been in Montclair. But we don't think we can really use that facility anymore, and also the parking in Montclair is terrible. So we're looking for somewhere else to have those two concerts. We're looking at a place in Wayne. In March, they're both at Westside, and in June, it's at Westside.
All right, so again, June 11th. 7:30 p.m. Make sure you mark it in your calendars. And, I say mark it in your calendars. Put it in your phones. Put an alert a week ahead of time, a couple days ahead of time, so that you don't forget. And I would imagine that these tickets, you know, seem to sell out early because you guys have been doing it for so long. So I encourage you guys to get your tickets now. Reserve your tickets now so you make sure you get a seat, because I know what usually happens is you wait till the last minute. It's like, oh, this alert just came up on my phone. We got to get tickets. And then you can't. And it's not like, you know, it's not like a baseball game where you have one every day. This is once.
We usually have tickets available for sale at the door, but not always.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not always.
So, you know, better. There's a lot of things to stress about. You don't need to stress about getting tickets at the door and see if they're available. And you go as a family and they have two tickets left. And then you got to leave your kids at home. And who wants to do that?
I will say, though, that right now we are requiring attendees to be vaccinated and wear masks, but of course that could change at any moment.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
And this sort of music really isn't recommended for kids because it's Masterworks, and I would think it would get a little boring. It's in Latin, and
unless they're, you know, like that 14-year-old prodigy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yep.
if your children are into this type of classical music, when girls were young, my daughters were young, we would play classical music, and you know, we loved Baby Einstein because it had classical music. When I learned classical music was watching Bugs Bunny cartoons.
Yep.
They would have Wagner, they would have Beethoven, mm-hmm. they would have, you know, and I...
Kill the Wabbit.
Kill the Wabbit, exactly.
Kill the Wabbit.
Exactly.
Kill the Wabbit.
Exactly. That's where I learned. And then as I got older, I'm hearing Wagner on classic radio. I'm like, wow, they're playing Bugs Bunny. You know, so...
There's a few pieces. One in particular, there's a longer work called Carmina Burana by Carl
Orff. I love.
But you hear Carmina Burana in the background on commercials and movies all the time. Yeah, we've done Carmina Burana three times.
I That's my favorite piece.
Oh, it's probably my favorite too. Yeah.
I do a thing every year called March Pizza Madness.
Oh, I saw that. Yes.
You did.
Yes.
That was the song. That was the theme behind it.
Oh, I didn't hear it.
I had the video. I had the video, and it was exactly that. Yep. I'd love that's such an intense that. And the Hallelujah chorus are things that you have to see with a full chorus. You have to see that live.
Carmina Burana is particularly fun because
do you do the whole thing?
We've done the whole thing. So at least, let's see. We did it in 1991. We did it as the last concert when Lenora Tom, the music director, the first music director I had, retired. She did it as her last piece. And we did it maybe 5 years ago with the next music director, who was Eric Knapp. And it's just great. The funny thing about Carmina is that if you don't know the translation, you don't realize it's really kind of bawdy and inappropriate. And we all do it, we perform it in a church. I'm probably giving away secrets here. And I think if churches knew what we were actually singing, they wouldn't let us do it. So
that was Carl Orff, right?
Carl Orff, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, great piece. And listen, if you guys have never, you can go back and you can listen to the teaser of March Pizza Madness, or you can Google or go to YouTube and listen to the whole thing, Carmina Burana. You guys, you've heard it in thousands of movies and commercials. And I can't wait for when you guys do that again.
We could do it every year. I would love to do that.
Yeah. It's got to be a lot of fun to sing, too.
Oh, it's so much fun.
What's your favorite song to sing?
Carmina Burana.
Is that the one?
Absolutely. I have top three. Carmina Burana, a piece called The Cloud Messenger by Gustav Holst, which we did once back in 1999, I think. It was the last, we record it internally for ourselves, and it was the last piece that was on a cassette tape. The very next thing was a CD.
Wow.
And it's a really great piece about a woman in India, whose husband has, for some reason I don't recall, been banished. And he sends her messages through the clouds. And it's beautiful and interesting, and it's hardly ever performed. So we really want to do it again, but it requires a significant orchestra. So we have to, you got to raise a little money before you can hire enough orchestra pieces, and it requires a lot of voices too.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's a great fun piece. And the third one is Chichester Psalms by whoever wrote West Side Story. I'm drawing a blank. Same person who wrote West Side Story. And it's very weird rhythms, like five beats in a measure instead of three or four. And it's in Hebrew, and it's a great piece. So those are my top three.
All right. Again, June 11th, 7:30 p.m., West Side Presbyterian in Ridgewood. Go to njcs.org and get your tickets there. Learn a little bit more about the NJCS organization. Is that you guys take donations? How do you guys raise money?
We have fundraising events. We take donations. We send out an annual appeal. We have a raffle for our Pops concert. That's about it.
Yeah. So listen, you can go on the website and if you don't want to go to the concert, just donate money. It's organizations like this. You have to keep them going because it's they're beautiful organizations, and when they're gone, they're gone. It's hard to start it back up again if they have to go away. So I encourage you guys to donate some money to the group and people from all over the area, right?
We have chorus members from Bergen County, Essex County, Passaic County. We had one woman who was coming from Warren County for a while.
Wow.
Our music director, Lenora Tom, the one who did her last concert was Carmina Burana, was commuting from Asheville, North Carolina for a while.
Seriously?
Yep. She met in the chorus the man that she married. He happened to own property in Asheville. They flew down one week or whatever to look.
Here.
And they decided that she loved it. They built a house. And she commuted back and forth. She would fly up on Tuesdays, stay with her brother who lived in New York City, and fly home on Wednesdays. And it was really an ordeal, and she was thrilled when they were going to have a direct flight from Asheville that was going to be instituted right after 9/11, and they never did it. And flying became really complicated after that, and so she decided that was enough.
Let it go.
She resigned, and we've had two music directors since, and it's been great.
Yeah. All right, guys, so hopefully we'll see you at the concert on June 11th at 7:30. If you have any other questions, feel free to get online, go to the website, njcs.org, shoot them an email. And if you want to audition, you know, check it out, fill out the audition sheet, and go in there and sing, and hopefully you'll be part of this this amazing organization. And don't forget to go to YouTube and check out what they did during their virtual time.
Right? If it's any enticement, we also do international tours on occasion.
Really?
The first one was in 1989. We went to Italy, and then there was a long break. After that, there was a trip to Prague in the Czech Republic.
Wow.
There was two trips to Australia, one to China, Austria, and Vienna and Austria. And then, in 2010, it was England and Scotland. 2012. 2014 was Normandy and Paris. 2017 was Northern Italy. And we're hoping next year to go to Amsterdam, Bruges, Normandy, Bayeux, Mont-Saint-Michel, and Paris.
How about that? So if you audition now and you get in this August or September, next year you might be able to go on... That sounds like a fabulous trip.
Yeah, they're fun. It's chorus members. It's not sponsored by the chorus. It's put together by a tour company, but it's chorus members and family, friends, spouses who want to go.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, it's fun.
All right, guys. Hopefully we'll see you at the concert. And if you have any questions, you can send an email to Virginia, president of the NJCS. Thank you so much for coming.
And thank you very much for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. And hopefully you'll come back to Merv's.
Absolutely.
And guys, if you haven't been to Merv's, come check it out. We're hoping to have Merv on a future episode. All right, be well, everybody. Hometown.